I'm John Betts with my good colleague, Evan Ellis, professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Caracas is through a glass darkly. It's right now under the thumb and boot of a man named Maduro, who is an illegitimate regime leader. He's backed up by a lot of guns, Cuban military intelligence, as far as I know, interference or at least lending a hand by bad actors overseas. I'm mentioning Moscow and Beijing particularly. Hezbollah is not absent from the scene. All that, however, gets concentrated in Maduro saying he's ready to impose emergency orders or martial law or whatever he calls it in the event that the U.S. intervenes. To my information, there is a very powerful flotilla, would be powerful anywhere in the world, somewhere between the coast of Venezuela and Puerto Rico. At the same time, there are voices in Venezuela, Machado and Gonzalez, two leaders of the opposition to Machado's dictatorship, one of them elected president last summer, Gonzalez, who are asking for help. Information is they ask the UN for help, they ask the U.S. for help, meaning intervention is welcomed by the legitimate government of Venezuela, Mr. Gonzalez. All that is put against the backdrop of the U.S. taking action. Three or four alleged drug boats have been destroyed, what appears to be a strike by a drone with a lethal missile on board. The legality of that destruction is in question in Washington. Is it war? Is it crime fighting? Are you intervening in such a fashion that you can't use the Coast Guard to stop and detain these boats? What evidence do you have? You understand. But that's been in international waters. In these last days, the president has remarked that it might be necessary and possible to go on land to combat the cartels. Maduro, I mentioned, has a $50 million bounty on his head as leader of the cartel, a cartel called the Cartel of the Suns. I stop there, Professor, and turn to you. Where is this drama between Puerto Rico, the flotilla, Washington, and Caracas?
That's a great question, John. And let me try to organize a little bit what's going on here. So first of all, some generally understood truths in Venezuela, whether you're the opposition or whether you're tied to Maduro. The July 28th, 2024 elections were overwhelmingly won by Edmundo Gonzalez. Essentially, the Maduro regime invented statistics that never proved to try to say we're going to stay in power at the point of a gun. And so the legitimacy continues to be, even with the people who stole the election, even with the military who have remained technically loyal to Maduro, there's an understanding that legitimacy is with Edmundo Gonzalez, Maria Corina Machado, and the opposition, even though they are out of power. Number two, there is, even with those closest to Maduro, a high level of dissatisfaction, an understanding of the kleptocracy of the criminality, essentially drug and extortion franchises that he has basically turned the country into, and a dissatisfaction with his disastrous rule, even with within those who are closest. But there's a sense of those who have partaken in the graft and the corruption and the crime, what they call the Cartel de los Soles, that if there is ever a return to responsible democracy, that they would be held accountable. The generals, the people close to Maduro, like Jorge Delcy Rodriguez, Vladimir Padrino Lopez, would be held accountable for all of the criminality, including their human rights violations, which has been acknowledged by investigations by the UN and others. And so we are at this critical moment when you now have the U.S. flotilla, eight ships, capability, if President Trump so chooses, to essentially go in with an operation, almost certainly not a invasion that would imply U.S. boots on the ground in an enduring fashion, but probably more than enough to take out the top leadership of the Cartel de los Soles, Maduro, his generals, Jorge Delcy Rodriguez. The question only is whether it would be sufficiently successful to get them out alive to face justice, because there are a lot of people that would like them dead. And so the kind of game of waiting and chance right now is that for those within Madurismo, their incentive, if they don't believe that a U.S. attack is imminent, is to stay with Maduro because that's the only way they can avoid being held responsible for their crimes. But if they believe that that regime change, that attack is imminent, then the risk is that they they basically start cutting deals with the U.S. as well as with the opposition to save their own skins the best as they can. And so I think what you see is that the U.S. operations, certainly to date, showing the willingness to use lethal force against drug boats, are part of a range of actions. And time is currently on, I think, the U.S. administration's side. To show it with increasing seriousness that you will not let Maduro out of this in power. And so, beyond the lethality, there's now confirmed conversations about and possible planning, according to press reports, about U.S. strikes on the ground in Venezuela. Maybe that would be against a drug plane on a tarmac someplace. Maybe that would be against a particular drug target with a taking out a leader, a lower level general. Maybe that would be U.S. special operations forces going in boots on the ground in a small operation to grab a lower level leader. Clearly, the lesson would be then, hey, this can happen also, Maduro, to you. This can happen, Jorge Rodriguez, to you as well. However, if that still does not convince those close to Maduro of that the U.S. will see this through to the end, then eventually, as happened with the U.S. in its B-2 strikes on Fordo and other targets in Iran, if the U.S. has to act in a limited, decisive way to bring Maduro and his key leaders to justice, that will happen. So it's in this range of calculations and this kind of gradual escalation, which is my sense of what's happening here, that those opposition members are. There are talks with the U.S., as has been reported. There are talks with the opposition. And at the end of the day, whatever way we get to this point, because I'd say it's still 50-50 that the U.S. could choose not to do this, just judging that it's too risky, because if you take out the leadership and if Maria Corina and Edmundo Gonzalez cannot get the loyalty of the military and get control over the violence, things could turn into a very messy situation. Sure. So I think Maria Corina and Edmundo Gonzalez are going to have a limited window. The window is going to be better if it's a large-scale U.S. operation. It's going to be tougher for them if it actually happens because of deals they have to cut before a major U.S. operation. But at the end of the day, the key thing, whatever way this ends, if the U.S. doesn't walk away from this, is going to be their attempt to take that window, restore order, cut deals with the people that they need to, and then face the more difficult situation of Venezuela's legal crises and issues, restoring oil production, and all the other things that they're going to have to do to get the country out of crisis mode.
Professor Evan Ellis.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.